Millions of Americans get a raise today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The federal minimum wage goes up today by 70 cents. It's now $7.25 an hour. This is the third and final of the increases that have been phased in the last several years. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler looks at what the pay raise means for workers and employers.
As you might expect, employers aren't thrilled about paying workers more today for the same job they did yesterday, especially during a recession. Bill Dunkelberg is chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business.
Well, certainly it's going to raise costs substantially, especially for small businesses, where 80% of our costs are typically labor costs.
For those who get the raise, it won't go far. Heidi Scherholtz is an economist at the Economic Policy Institute.
When you account for inflation, the real value, the purchasing power of the minimum wage today is actually far lower than it was 40 years ago.
A full-time minimum wage worker will now earn less than $15,000 a year. On that income, a two-person family lives below the federal poverty level. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
The minimum wage is one way the government tries to manage the economy. Today on Capitol Hill, they're talking about a much bigger intervention. All the big government bank regulators will testify to Congress about how to ride herd on the financial services industry. World stocks are on the rise again this morning after yesterday's rah-rah day on Wall Street. Asian stocks are up 1 to 2% on the day. South Korea said its economy grew at its fastest pace in almost 6 years. Major European markets are up less than 1% now. Yesterday, the Dow and the whole market zoomed, and the Dow closed above 9,000 for the first time since January. Part of that was a jump in home sales, but it was also better than expected corporate profits. However, a lot of those profits came more from cost-cutting than actual revenue increases. After the bell yesterday came more disappointing earnings from Microsoft, American Express, and Amazon.com. Congress faces a deadline next week to keep government R&D money flowing to small businesses. And there is a battle brewing over whether any of that funding should go to firms backed by venture capitalists, those powerful wheeler-dealers of the high-tech economy. From the entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Small Business Innovation Research Program sets aside nearly $2 billion a year for everything from robotics to weapons research. Until now, only independently owned firms could qualify. The House bill would let in companies that have significant venture capital funding or are even controlled by VCs.
Just because you get venture financing doesn't mean you're rolling in the money.
Mark Heeson heads the National Venture Capital Association. He says startups often can't make it without VC money, but that shouldn't cut them off from government R&D. Lloyd Chapman of the American Small Business League says small businesses face enough challenges already.
I don't think we need a federal law that changes the definition of a small business to include firms that are actually owned by not only some of the nation's wealthiest investors, but potentially some of the largest VC firms.
A Senate bill maintains most current restrictions. If the chambers can't compromise, they'll probably extend the program as is into the fall. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
President Obama has said he wants the healthcare industry to get away from paper records and switch in the next 5 years to EMR, electronic medical records. A lot of hospitals and clinics are way ahead of his five-year deadline. From WUWM in Milwaukee, Aaron Toner reports one hospital there is flipping a big digital switch today.
Did you need some Alox, dear?
No, I'm feeling a little good right now.
You feel okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Hiller has terrible nausea after his latest round of chemo and has been at Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee for about a week.
I was diagnosed with advanced throat cancer back in January of 2005. So every day since then has been a steady uphill climb, you know, fighting for my life, I guess.
You have this wristband on, and I understand right. They scan that.
It's a barcode type of situation, yeah. It basically looks like a barcode, a little abstract painting.
One click on the barcode brings up all of Hiller's medications. Starting today, that one click will bring up his entire chart. That's because the hospital is making a switch from handwritten patient notes to electronic records that can be accessed anywhere. Dr. Dennis Maiman has been involved in the transition.
There are admittedly those who say that they don't want to bother with it, they don't like computers, they don't like, that's tough. That's tough. If you want to practice medicine in the not-so-distant future and you don't want to use the EMR, you will not be practicing medicine. That's the way it is.
Maiman is chief of neurosurgery at Fraydert. He says the biggest benefit with EMRs is better communication. Everyone involved in a patient's care knows right away what's going on, what drugs the person's taking, and what tests were done. Dr. Maiman says electronic records save time and leave a lot less room for costly medical mistakes.
Now when I talk to a patient, I can type in a message. What I've said to the patient is that when that patient calls back the next day to talk to one of the nurses because he or she didn't understand what I said, there it is.
Fraydert Hospital in Milwaukee has spent $70 million so far on its EMR project. Another local system has spent more than $150 million. There are still some hurdles. In Milwaukee, the different systems don't necessarily talk to each other, and that's the next big challenge. Officials say an integrated system across different facilities could save billions by lowering the number of duplicate tests and treatments. In Milwaukee, I'm Aaron Toner for Marketplace.
And the city of Philadelphia has installed the last of its 500 new solar-powered trash compactors. They're called Big Bellies. They're made by a Massachusetts company, Big Belly Solar. When the bin gets full, it breaks an electronic beam, which triggers a motor, which compacts the garbage. And when the bin is truly full, a wireless monitoring system notifies the city. The mayor says now he loves the bins, but since Philadelphia was recently named America's fattest city, he was not crazy at first about the name Big Belly. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow yesterday closed at 9,069. It gained 188 points. That's the news this morning. Hope you'll visit us online, catch up on business news, and watch some videos at marketplace.org. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.